Okay, Saul. Continuing in our study on the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Tonight, we're going to get into the fruit of patience.
Oh, woo.
Okay. Amen. The King James refers to it as long suffering. And so that is what we're going to look at to begin with in the Hebrew. The Hebrew translation of the word. Now, when, again, you won't necessarily see the word patience in that form in the Old Testament. As far as Paul referring to the fruit of the Spirit, so we have to look at long suffering. Now, long suffering really is a dual word. So, even though you may see it in your version or translation of the scriptures as one word, in the Hebrew it is a hyphenated word. If I can say it like that, it is long dash suffering. So it is it has a dual. A dual definition or dual meaning, because it is a dual word. So the word long, we got to start with the word long. So the word long in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word arek. Okay, that's the Hebrew word for long, because again, we have to look at long suffering. We have to look at it again, as a hyphenated word. So the word long in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word arek. Now, arek means patient, okay, of course. It also means slow, and when it says slow, it's slow to anger. It also means long-winded. So I think that's interesting when we think about patience and the long-suffering of the Lord, and his wings are long, and I think about how we hide under the shadow of his wings and that type of thing. So it means long-winged. Now, it comes from a root word. Arek does. That means lengthen, draw out, or to tarry. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about long-suffering. Again, patience, the word long, arek in the Hebrew, is patient, slow to anger, and it means to lengthen, to draw out, or to tarry. Okay, so just keep that in your mind about that. And the Hebrew word for suffering is off. A-F, you pronounce it A-F, so it's off. So arek and off. So suffering in the Hebrew is off. Now, this is interesting, and it'll make sense to you when you put both of these together. But the word suffering, or off, means nose or nostril. It also means from rapid breathing and passion. So think about...
All I think about when you're mad, like...
That's where I'm at. So you're, take a deep breath, right?
Because you're
angry. It's forbearance. It has to do with the countenance. Okay, comes from the root word that means to breathe hard or to be enraged. So when you think about yourself being angry, you're like, right? So that's kind of the idea. So think about long suffering, and we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get started. But when you think about, I want you to keep those things in mind as you think about the long part, about tarrying, drawing out, being patient, being slow to anger, and then suffering in meaning the nose, the nostril, breathing hard, the countenance on your face. So it's interesting that in the Hebrew, that you bring those together and you kind of get that concept. So while you are tarrying and you're right, you're angry and frustrated. So you keep that there. Now the Greek word, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. It's a really long word that starts with an M, but it simply means forbearance or fortitude, a long temper, to be lenient, and of course patient. So this is where we get translating long suffering into patience. So patience, long suffering are interchangeable. They are the same thing. So the Greek, as it's translated from the Hebrew and the New Testament and the scriptures of Paul's teaching in the book of Galatians, it means forbearance or fortitude, to be lenient, to have a long temper. And so that's kind of what you that you want to keep in mind. So as we look now and go into a study in patience, we had love, joy, peace, right? Those were the first three items in Paul's fruit basket, was love, joy, peace. And we talked about them. You know, those sound very spiritual, right? Love, joy, peace, and sound real spiritual. But patience brings us back down to reality. Love, joy, and peace kind of, you know, can kind of take us into spiritual euphoria, kind of it's a real spiritual thing, but then patience brings us down to earth. It brings us back to reality. It's like going from a Sunday service to Monday morning reality, right? When you're sitting in a Sunday service and the anointing and the presence of God is there, and the word and the fellowship and the anointing and the unity and all of the things that are there, and you know, not even anything extraordinary or over and above what we come to know and to expect when we gather together. But it's like going from a Sunday service, you know, when you're there and you're hearing the message, you're like, yes, I got this. I can do this. Yes, Lord. I'm going. I'm doing it. I'm going. You respond. You come to the altar and you're supercharged. But then, bam, Monday morning reality hits. It's like patience day. Like, hello, okay, now it's the rubber meeting the road. So then it's down to, now what about the rest of the week? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? How is it that we're going to cope with everything that's pressing in on us from the hustles of life? Life can be tough. Life can be difficult, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. It rains on the just and the unjust. We just have someone to go through it with us. They keep us through it. So, you know, what about when reality hits and now the rest of the week and, you know, you're out of that moment where you were in the presence of the Lord and in that, caught up in that excitement and that joy that was there in that moment, and now you're facing the things that are pressing in, and, you know, Monday and then Tuesday, and the things of life just press, and their things seem to just get a little bit closer, a little bit longer. And so when you look at long suffering, essentially it means long tempered. Okay, so you've heard of having a short temper. You know, that person's got a short temper. That means they get angry really quick. It doesn't take a lot to tick them off. It doesn't take a lot to set them off, right? I mean, knows anybody like that? But it doesn't take much until they have a short temper. Well, long suffering really, in essence, means long-tempered. So it means that you don't get angry really quick. In other words, you tarry, okay? When you justifiably could be angry, you tarry at that opportunity. And even though you, right, and all of those things are setting in, you tarry. You're a little bit, you're lenient. Okay, some translations translate long-suffering or even patience as forbearance. So you may see that as well, which again is what the word means in the Greek. It means forbearance. And so that means that you forego opportunities. You relinquish the opportunity to retaliate or to lash back or to get back or to give out what might be deserved, but is that what the fruit of the Spirit what God would have us to be as children of God. So both meanings are really important to the idea and get the full idea of Paul's term. So, you know, forbearance and long-tempered, both of those really together, you got to get to get the full idea of what Paul's speaking about here in the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. So patience as the fruit of the Spirit means this, and I thought about it at the last minute. I would have put this up on the screen, because if you're taking notes, I'll try to go slow, because I have a couple different full things that I want you, before we get started, I want to go ahead and say. So patience as the fruit of the Spirit means the ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition, I'll repeat it, whatever opposition and suffering may come our way, and to show perseverance without retaliation and revenge. So that's one. The ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come our way, and to show perseverance without retaliation and revenge. Okay?
Yeah, because that flesh wants revenge.
I'm sorry?
That flesh wants revenge, and then God has to put you in check.
Yes. And then it is the ability to put up with the weaknesses and frailties of others, including other believers, especially, and to show forbearance toward them without getting quickly irritated or angry enough to want to fight back. Okay? So the ability to put up with the weaknesses and frailties of others, including your fellow brothers and sisters in the covenant, other believers.
Everybody.
And to show forbearance toward them without getting quickly irritated or angry enough to want to fight back. That's a lot to think about, okay? But that is essentially, in a nutshell, what patience as the fruit of the Spirit means, okay? So that's a tough word, right? Patience is a tough word. It's not a word that, you know, people say, oh, don't pray for patience. Well, if you don't pray for patience, then you're not praying for the fruit of the Spirit. Right? See what I'm saying?
Can you repeat that first one?
The first one? Uh-huh. The ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come our way, and to show perseverance without retaliation and revenge. So, if you don't pray for patience, then you are neglecting the fruit of the Spirit, because you can't pick and choose when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, first of all. Okay, so it's a tough word. Why is it a tough word? Because it demands strength and stamina. Okay, those two in a nutshell meanings and explanations that I gave requires a lot of strength. Okay, it requires a lot of stamina. You've got to be able to stand against. Okay, and once again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but if you're not keeping a consistent fellowship in prayer and the Word, and a daily fellowship with the Lord, yielding yourself to the Holy Ghost, okay, you're not going to have that strength, and you're not going to have the stamina that you need to withstand that, okay? And it depends. Patience is a tough word also, because it depends on us being able to exercise control over our reaction to others. That can be a tough one, right? Because we often feel justified in our reactions. You know, our actions and our reactions. Oftentimes we feel justified in that, but how many knows that it's not about us? Right? It isn't about us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into that. And once again, as with love, joy, peace, the other three in the basket, in Paul's fruit basket, that does not come naturally. Okay? It is a natural reaction is to protect yourself. A natural reaction is to defend yourself. A natural reaction is for you to believe that you are right. Okay? Our natural reaction, being in the flesh and the sinful man that we are, is to be self-righteous and to feel vindicated. Okay? That is a natural reaction. Okay? So patience does not come naturally to us. So we need the Spirit of God to make it grow in our lives. Okay? So, you know, don't pray for patience in the essence. I think that's where a lot of people get afraid, because they really fail to understand that it really is a virtue of the Holy Ghost. It is a virtue. You know, patience is a virtue. So, but it is a really a virtue of God. That is a God virtue, right? The Holy Spirit is the characteristics. The fruit of the Holy Spirit are the characteristics of God Himself. So, you know, when you pray for patience, it's not something that comes and then it's there and you're good to go until Jesus comes.
Right.
Don't work like that. Okay? Because you have got to be constantly yielding, surrendering, growing, pursuing, right, the will of God, and yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, just because you're patient and you exercise patience one day, doesn't mean the next day it's going to come as automatic.
Right.
Okay? Now, as you're yielding your life to the Holy Ghost and the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident, things become more natural from the supernatural because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you begin to discipline yourself, and the more that you yield and the more that you exercise and practice,
yeah,
it takes practice.
Right.
And often you walk away like, oh, failed that test.
Yeah.
Glory to God, right? You have to do that. There was a little incident today. And, you know, the first time, okay. Well, then the second time, I kind of felt my blood boiling. And so I'm like, okay, you're tired, you're hot, and you're also pastor. That was how it was in my mind as I was walking towards the situation. I'm like, you're tired, you're hot, but you're the pastor, and you have the Holy Spirit. And so in the 30 to 45 seconds that it took me to walk across the parking lot, I'm like, Holy Ghost, just help me.
Activate.
Like, help me. Remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, remember.
Yeah.
And then so when I get there, it wasn't even what I was told it was. So I was all like, for nothing.
Right.
So I could have got myself over there. Like, come on. You're like approaching him, but it's the truth, right? And so, you know, all the while, right? Not having a buffer. And so again, you a lot of factors come into play when you are walking in the Spirit, because you are flesh. And thankfully, God knows that. He knew that. That's why He sent us the Holy Ghost. And that's why, you know, there's grace and mercy, but still, you got to practice it, and you got to understand it. So patience is a tough word. It does not come natural. So, but before we discuss how we should behave,
right,
how we as little children, as God's people, should behave, we need to think about the patience of God Himself. Since that is the characteristic that the Holy Spirit possesses in you. Okay? So, before we talk about or even think about how we're supposed to behave, let's think about the patience of God Himself. Okay, so let's look at God's patience, first of all, in the Old Testament. Makes sense, right? That's where the story begins for us. That's our first written, you know, portion of the Word. So, and here's the thing. Many tend to think about the God of the Old Testament as always angry or always quick to get angry. Right? Because Anytime, you know, anytime in this culture, anytime you bring up any kind of word, scripture, or commandment or law out of the Old Testament, that's the first thing that people do. Well, if that's the kind of God, he was always angry. He wants that kind of angry God, okay? They look at a picture of God in the Old Testament as angry or suddenly getting angry. But there are examples, okay? There are examples of God's anger against his people's sins and against their presumptions. But let's look at Exodus 34 and 6 as God literally describes himself to Moses. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's God's description of himself to Moses. God said, I am merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering, I'm patient. That's what God said. And I am abundant in goodness and truth. He didn't say that I'm angry and that I'm a God that will get my revenge and I am a God that will get retaliation and I will get vindication. He passed by Moses, and that's what he wanted Moses to understand. Now he knows that he's going to get angry with God's people. Okay?
Right.
So keep in mind, that's God's description of himself. The Bible says that he is slow to anger.
Yeah.
Doesn't say that he doesn't get angry. It just says it takes him a long time to get angry. That means he's patient.
Yeah.
He's long-suffering. So he has a long temper, if I can say it like that. You know, he is slow to anger. And if you read the book of Psalms, David often echoed that in the Psalms. How that God was slow to anger. How that God was patient and long-suffering. David would echo that in many of his writings, how God was not quick to anger. And he even compared God's compassion to the way that fathers respond to children. Okay? And typically, you know, as fathers, we are a little more lenient. We put up with, we give our kids chances and second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. Okay, right? But in general, so David even describes God as his compassion and being patient. So even, here's the thing, even when judgment is deserved, God is patient. He doesn't render judgment right away. Okay? Even when that judgment is deserved, God is long-suffering. He's patient. Especially when there's a chance of repentance.
Yeah.
Whenever there is a window for repentance, God is long-suffering. He is patient, okay? And even though judgment is deserved, now it doesn't mean that judgment is not going to come, because then you take away from the love of God. We talked about that when we talked about love. Because God is love, judgment has to come, okay? Because of his favor and his goodness and his equality, if I can say it like that. So when there's a place of repentance, he's long-suffering. Just ask Jonah. Jonah's a very good example of his story. He criticized God for being so patient and for giving to the people of Nineveh. Just take them out. God is like, yep. I'm not going back to that place of repentance. Just take them out. But God was long-suffering because there was time for repentance. So Jonah understood now, then, afterwards, understands that. So, you know, God is slow to anger. Even when God's anger is rightly and necessarily stirred by the human wickedness and by the human evil, when it is justifiably stirred, when God's like, you know what? God has to. There has to be anger with what's going on in our world. Okay? There has to be. God has to feel that anger, okay? And even though the human wickedness and sin justifies that anger, it doesn't last forever. Okay, let's look at Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy.
He's forgiving.
He will turn again. That means he will turn from it. That's kind of like repentance. And he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God does not want to remember them. Now remember, understand, God doesn't forget our sins. He just chooses not to punish us because he, over and over again, because he is long-suffering, he is merciful, he is compassionate. So even though anger is justified, it doesn't last forever, okay? And although we see times of God's anger in Israel's history throughout the Old Testament, right? We see plenty of examples of God's anger with Israel in the Old Testament. We need to see them in the light of the long story of God's patience and how that over centuries and over generations, God has been patient with Israel. He's been patient with his people. And we see that over and over again. So even though there are those instances in the Old Testament where we see God's anger poured out and we see it and justifiably so, we really, when we look at the long story of Israel, he's much more compassionate and long-suffering and patient. Amen? And so his judgment would only come. Look in the scriptures. When God would render judgment, when judgment would fall, when things would finally come to light and judgment would come, it was usually years after warnings and callings from prophet after prophet after prophet, right? Over and over again, God would give them opportunity until finally he realized they're never going to reach that. They're never going to. So I need to send the ultimate sacrifice because I love them too much and I want them in a relationship with me and I don't want them lost for eternity and destroyed. I want that. I'm going to send a remedy. And he sent his only begotten son. And so, you know, even when that judgment comes, God's patient because it's after years and years of calling and warnings and messages. Can I get a witness in here? My wife can testify to that. And how many times God didn't give up on me and God would get the same conviction and the same wooing and the same beckoning and the same love and never let you feel any less loved no matter what you have done. Okay, that the patience and the long suffering of God, and so in even the prophets given the messages, even the prophets that were giving the warnings, they marveled at God's patience in the face of Israel's constant rebellion and sin. We can look at Hosea, we can look at Jeremiah, and you can read their writings and their prophecies and their lamenting and how that you know, they was like, man, how can God not punish them? How can God not pour his wrath and his judgment? But they marveled at the patience and the long-suffering of God because they were giving the warnings. He was speaking the warnings through them. And so they heard the words of God, and they heard when God said, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. Okay, but then God would give them chance after chance. Room to repent. They would repent. They would get it right for a little bit. And then, bam, they'd be right back in the same way again. He'd send another prophet. Speak, warn, give. They do good. Then what? Bam, right back again. Okay? And the prophets marveled at that. And again, you know, Hosea and Jeremiah, just two that stand out to me, you know, when as they just were in amazed at how God was long-suffering when they knew what was happening. And James even used the prophets as examples of patience. Let's look in James chapter 5, verse 10. He said, take my brother the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So James even used those prophets as an example of patience or that long suffering. So patience, when you think about patience, right? Because sometimes you get to this place, you know what? I just can't take it anymore. Right? You're like, I can't take it anymore. So patience has a lot to do with how much you're able to bear or carry. That's why we'll say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm losing my patience. We say that often as we're running out of patience, that, you know, I just can't bear this anymore. Have you ever been there? Okay? So patience really has a lot to do with how much you're able to bear or carry. Let's look at Isaiah 43, verses 23 and 24. He said, "Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with honey, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." Okay? So now let's look at that. Who's talking there? God, the Lord is speaking there, okay, through Isaiah. This is kind of an argument between God and Israel. God is saying, you have not done this. You have not brought me what I asked you to bring. You have not been obedient to me. You have not done what I have said. And you have wearied me with your sin. You have wearied me. Now think about this, almost to the point to where I can't bear it anymore. Okay? In our culture, you're getting on nerves. Right? You just you have wearied me. And so what God was saying, okay, and let's go back to that and look at it again. Verse 23. "Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense." God is saying, what I've asked you to do is not a lot. I have not put a heavy load on you. It's not like, oh my gosh, this is just so hard to do. God said, I have not wearied you. I have not burdened you. I haven't laid a burden on you, but you have constantly wearied me with your sins. Okay, we're talking about the patience of God himself. Okay, so that doesn't mean that God gets tired. But he's being patient because he's carrying the heavy load of human sin. So it doesn't mean that God is tired. It means that God is being patient because of the heavy load or the burden of sin that God is carrying. I don't think we think about that in that perspective, especially in the Old Testament setting and where things were before the ultimate sacrifice came, that God carried the load of human sin, that God carried that load. And so he's like, you have wearied me with your sin. And one of the Hebrew words for forgive is salak. That's one of the Hebrew words for forgive. And when you look at that word, it means to bear or to carry. So this is one of the Hebrew words for forgive, but it means to bear or carry. So when God forgives and he is patient and he overlooks, that means he's carrying the weight of our transgression and our sin, okay? You should start getting a little connection there, okay? So when God is patient and when he forgives, it's only because he chooses to carry that sin himself.
Right.
So think of that in the Old Testament now, okay? That, you know, somebody has to bear the cost of sin. So when God forgives and when God is patient, then he's bearing or carrying that sin. Now, when you go, to bear that weight or the cost of those sins, he literally put them on his own shoulders. And so that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Surely he bore all of our sorrows and our sins. So now Jesus became that mediator, right? He became that ultimate sacrifice. So now our forgiveness, our sins, doesn't bear the weight on God, but Jesus took them upon himself when he bore the cross, which is why he had to feel the weight of the cross, but also he felt it in the spirit. You know, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he felt the weight of that, of the sin and the pressure, but he bore or he carried our suffering. He carried that for us, okay? So, again, that's why you need to forgive yourself. Because when you do not forgive yourself, you're carrying the weight of that sin, and that is not your responsibility. You will never get released from that weight until you allow forgiveness to come, okay, and allow what Jesus did on the cross, through the cross, with his sacrifice to bear the weight of that sin for you, cleanse you with that blood, amen, that he sacrificed, that he shed to pay the price and to fulfill the requirement for that forgiveness, and allow the blood to blot it out. And so you're carrying the weight of something that you are not even capable of carrying. Okay? And really, in a nutshell, when you think about it, when you bear that, you're putting it back on God, and it's as if God didn't do enough when he sent Jesus to bear that. So think about that. You're throwing it back on God. It's kind of like, okay, God, you know, what Jesus did is enough. So you've got to forgive yourself. We ain't even going to forgive other people. Okay? Because when you don't forgive them, you're also, you're bearing the weight of their sin against you. So that's why the Bible says that if you don't forgive others, you can't be forgiven by God. Because when you can't forgive them, you're bearing the weight of that sin. Right? Because it's a sin against you. And it is a sin, right? Something they've done. So you're bearing the weight of their sin. There's no way that you can accept forgiveness from God, because that means you've got to give it all to Jesus. And you've got to let him carry it all. And so you're not. Okay? And so that all goes in line with the patience of God. So Jesus took it upon his own shoulders. So when Paul says that the Holy Spirit will produce the fruit of patience in our lives, what he's doing is he's reminding us that God is the one who has bore our sin, carried it himself in the person of his Son, then taken it upon his shoulders, his righteous anger against all wickedness and evil. So God took it upon himself, allowed that weight to be upon Jesus' shoulders to bear that weight and his righteous anger. So now all of his justifiable anger was carried on the cross when Jesus took it. So now he does not have to, are you with me?
Yes.
He does not have to retaliate, or he does not have to let anger result, because Jesus took the place of that. And when Jesus bore our sin, he also bore the righteous anger of the Father as well, of all evil and of all the sin and the wickedness. That is an awesome thing to think about. That's why he can be patient. Okay? And that's why the Spirit, that is the kind of patience that the fruit of patience, that the Spirit that Paul is speaking about, it reminds us that God took all of that God bore all of that with us. So that's the true cost of God's patience. Okay? That's what God's patience costs. And what does that do? That leads us directly to Jesus.
Wow.
So you can't escape Jesus.
Right.
Wow.
You can't get away from Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he said, no one can come to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Okay, so that leads you right to Jesus. So if you fall, it leads right back to Jesus. If you get up, it leads right back to Jesus. Okay, everything that is there. And as simple as that sounds, it's hard to play out. Right? It can be very difficult to play out in our life. So that's the true cost of God's patience. So now let's look at the patience of Jesus. Jesus' patience was tested a lot with his disciples.
Well.
Why? Because they were slow to understand what he was saying and he was doing. He would be like, how many times do I have to tell you this? Have I not said this before? Fellas, were you even listening? Right? You remember that conversation with your spouse? I do. Love her heart. She just misses what I say. I don't know. She just, what? But he's like, how many times have I said this? And you're very slow to understand. But what did he do? He persevered. He was patient with them. He persevered with them, okay? Because they were just not getting it. They were slow learners. They just were not comprehending. So through all of their faults and through all of their failings, Jesus persevered with them patiently. Okay? Patiently. How long is it going to take for you to get this? And then they would get off on the rabbit trail. He's like, you're worried about stuff that's not important.
Yeah.
This is what I need you to focus on.
Right.
This is what I need you to understand. You're missing the point, guys. You're missing the point. How many instances we even see a couple of places where Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he pondered about how patiently God had longed to bring them next to him, and how that God longed to protect them, and God longed to give them salvation. And he said, like a hen gathered her chicks, God wanted to just bring you in. He wanted to just love you and save you and protect you, but they would not turn back to him. They just would not turn back to him. So Jesus persevered with them. He was patient with those that just didn't get it.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Well, that's you and me somewhere in the line. But then that also, we have people, right? We're in relationship, covenant with one another, and not everyone understands. Not everyone gets it.
Right.
You know, you're like, how many times? You know, I've been in counseling before, and I'm like, we have said this.
Look, I'm sorry, Daddy.
And I'm thinking that you're not getting it. And I don't know how else I can say it. Like, you know, you try to think about saying it the same thing a different way.
Right?
But again, Jesus did that with the disciples, but the supreme patience of Jesus is shown in the way that he endured the violence, the cruelty, and the injustice of the cross.
Yeah.
That is the supreme patience that Jesus exhibited and showed as he endured. He carried our sins, right? He bore all of our sorrows. He bore all of our griefs. He bore all of the price. He took the righteous anger of God. Now think about the righteous anger. That's justifiably releasing judgment and wrath, justifiably releasing retaliation, okay? Jesus bore all of that on the cross. It was on his shoulders. The government was on his shoulders. the very essence of everything was on his shoulders. But he did all of that without retaliation. But he trusted his Father God.
Amen.
And so he did it without retaliating. He did it without seeking any kind of revenge. So in his suffering and in his death, Jesus was not only bearing the immediate hostility and the immediate anger of those who carried out the crucifixion, but he was also bearing the sin of the world, the whole world. You and I, before we were ever even conceived in our mother's womb, Jesus bore our sin. This is why we should want to yield to the Holy Spirit. We should want to yield our lives to the Holy Ghost so that we, the fruit of the Spirit, can be evident and can be cultivated and can grow in us, okay? Because that's what God desires. So Peter even looks, we look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and read verses 20 through 24. Peter sees Jesus' suffering as a model, okay, of our own endurance. So Peter uses Jesus' suffering as a model on how we should endure or how we should be patient. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. When he committed himself, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's a lot.
You're teaching my life this week.
But Peter is using what Jesus did as an example of our endurance, so that when we begin suffering, it is a sign of our willingness to yield and surrender, but also an opportunity for us to be patient and for us to be forbearing and for us to tarry and for us not to be so quick to retaliate or get revenge or even want to fight. That's a tough one, right? To even want to fight.
Yeah.
Because you know it rises up. You feel it, okay? And so we're more like Christ when we follow his example. And how are we going to be able to have the strength and the stamina to follow his example other than walking in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Ghost and allowing him to grow us, okay? So the fruit of the Spirit will include the quality of patience that reflects how Jesus bore the suffering and how Jesus endured all of that for our salvation. So if you want the fruit of patience from the Holy Ghost, if you want the patience of the Holy Spirit, you want that fruit in your Holy Spirit fruit basket, okay, that's got to include the quality of patience that Jesus exhibited, that Jesus showed when he bore our suffering. Okay? Peter gives us that example. So now this brings us to ourselves. Here we go now. We talked about God, and we talked about Jesus. Now we got to talk about you and me. Okay, this brings us to ourselves, because we have to be both of these things, correct? If we're going to have this fruit exhibited in our life, like, because we can't escape it. You can't wipe it out. You can't have love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, temperance. You can't have all of that and leave out patience. Matter of fact, if patience isn't growing, all this stuff back here is probably going on. In the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't leave it out. And don't not pray for it. That's a lie from the enemy. Okay. Because it's not something you can create within yourself. It's not something that just shows up when you need it. You have to disciple it. You have to cultivate it just like everything else. Okay. So we've looked into a little bit of the patience of God in the Old Testament and the patience of Jesus in the New Testament. So what does it look like when God-like patience grows in us? What's it look like have you ever known anyone that you felt was just a really patient person?
Yes.
Don't get worked up over nothing.
And have you ever known someone who's really impatient?
Yeah.
Like extremely impatient.
Yes.
There's a lady husband wives. And she's like, have I ever texted the lady? So what does that look like for a God-like patience? Okay? Because now we're not saying God's anger was justified. And Jesus even said, you can be angry, but don't let it become sin.
Right.
So it's not wrong to be angry. Okay? And sometimes the enemy will make us feel bad for getting angry.
Yes.
Right?
I feel guilty every time.
And there's justifiable anger. When someone over and over and over and over and over and over again, you know, repeatedly does things, repeatedly creates offense, excuse me, and those things, or they you know, they just keep doing stupid stuff, right? And they're not stupid. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean that ugly, but I don't know how else to say that to make it make sense. That they just keep doing those things. And so there's got to be patience in Christian living, okay? Patience in how we as Christians, we as God's people, patience. So patience as long-suffering, patience as the Aramaic and the Av that we talked about in the Hebrew, bringing us to, again, the Greek and that forbearance, the patience as long suffering, or the endurance of persecution. Okay? And then we said that it's long tempered, or it also is forbearance. And so forbearance is when the forgiveness of another comes into play. So that long suffering, in that sense of the long suffering, it means to in how you endure persecution, how patiently you endure the cross that God has set before you, right? We all have a cross, and that's what it said. Jesus patiently endured the cross, okay? But that forbearance, that forgiveness of another, that is used in both ways in the New Testament, okay? That is used in an example of patience in both ways in the New Testament. And it kind of encompasses the idea that Paul is speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. So now we're talking about us. We're talking about us enduring persecution. And we're talking about us forgiving one another. Forgiving another person. Okay? So let's talk about the endurance of suffering. That is there. We know the Bible teaches, right? We know the Bible teaches that we will suffer. Okay? Being a Christian does not exempt you from suffering. It does not disqualify you from having to deal with suffering. Okay? The Bible teaches us that we will suffer from the hostility of those who are enemies of God and who are also enemies of His people. That could be human or satanic. Okay, so that's That's from the human perspective, and that's from the satanic perspective. So, again, understanding that endurance of suffering, the Bible teaches us that we're going to get hostility from those who are the enemies of God and the enemies of his people. You are simply disliked because you are a friend of God. The Bible says the world is an enemy to God. So why do we want the world to love us? It's not going to happen. Okay? They can respect us. But the Bible teaches us that we're going to suffer from that hostility. And that again comes from people or from the devil. Human or satanic. Okay? That's why Jesus' example is so crucial for us. That's why it is so crucial for us to look at the example of Jesus. So what matters is not just that Jesus suffered, but the way that he endured the suffering. Because that's our model. That's our example. Let's look again at 1 Peter. Let's go to chapter 4 and look at verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Why are you freaked out? Why are you acting like, I can't believe this is happening? That's what he said. Why are you acting like this is strange?
It's true.
You should expect this. Right. How you are prepared for that is on you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got on the armor. You've been in the secret place.
Yeah.
You walk in you into the Holy Spirit. Come on. All of those things, he gave us easy access to everything. Okay? Sorry. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Okay? Exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Understand that. When you are persecuted by the world, the glory of the Lord rests upon you. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon
yes.
you. I feel
Amen.
That.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm feeling that, the witness of that tonight.
Yeah.
When you're getting that resistance and that persecution, whether it's from social media or whether it's from the forces of hell, God said, Peter said, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, God is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. So think of that. Now you don't have to bear that. That's what's on your shoulders. The weighty glory of the Lord, okay, the kabod of God now rests on your shoulders. The glory of the Lord. Now let's look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Look at verse 19, same chapter. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now, not because of your and I's own doing. There's a difference. We suffer because we don't. When you've done stuff. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Simple enough.
Yes.
We suffer because we act like a fool.
Yep,
we hop across the parking lot like. That's it. Right? Simply. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. Them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing. As unto a faithful creator. Okay? We're talking about the patience and the endurance of suffering. So when we suffer, once again, it should not be a surprise. So that means no retaliation. You're not justified in retaliating. Because it's part of the package. And that also means you can't quit. Suck it up, buttercup.
Right.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
Pull up your pants, buckle your boots, whatever you got to do. Pull up your undies, get everything right. Because it's part of the program. Okay? It's part of it. So that means you are not justified in retaliating from that persecution. That's a lot to think about. And that can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard. Delete, 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 delete retaliate, and we cannot quit. That's not a reason to quit.
Right.
That's no excuse to give up because you're being persecuted, even by church people.
No way.
Not a reason. Not justified. God would be justifiably angry over that, but because of what Jesus said, Jesus bore that anger. Now, Paul knew this from experience. Okay, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. I'm trying to give you enough scripture to make you know that I'm not just blowing it away. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. See that difference there? Long-suffering and patience is used. So there's a difference. The long-suffering and the forbearance. Charity, patience, sorry. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Don't be surprised, okay? Millions of Christians around the world right now know that all too well. They understand that persecution. They've suffered hatred, they've suffered discrimination, they've suffered imprisonment, they've been thrown out of their own homes, they have even been killed in horrible ways because of their faith in Jesus. And we get upset when somebody says something against us on Facebook. Come on, think about it, okay? They experience this around the world. For them, now I'm going to say this, for them it's not some theory or doctrine. Because for us right now, we don't get persecuted. So it's just a theory for some of us. It's a doctrine. We believe it and we accept it. But you see, to them, it's not just a mere theory or doctrine. It's a reality. Okay? And I'm not sure that we may not see some of that, but that's a different thing. So if we have to suffer these ways in the future, we're going to need the grace and strength, okay, to be like Jesus in the power of the Spirit. So I don't know what's coming. We already are seeing things, dealing with things that I never thought and was taught that we wouldn't see. Okay? We're already experiencing some of those things, so I'm not sure what's yet to come. So if we are going to endure any kind of persecution in the future, okay, we have got to be ready. We've got to have our strength, okay, and the power of the Spirit to show patient endurance and not angry retaliation. And that's in word and deed.
Yeah.
With your mouth and your hands. Okay? It's word and deed. So we've got to show patient endurance and not angry retaliation. We need this part of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? We need this in where we are. So in the midst of such suffering, in the midst of suffering like that and persecution, even when enduring with patience, guess what? We can still pray for God to bring it to an end. Because He promised He would. He promised that it would not last forever. He promised that it would not. So don't let the devil tell you that you can't pray and say, God, whoo. How about put a period at the end of this? How about bringing this to a close? Okay? It's not wrong to pray that. Because God promises that He will. He promises that it won't last forever. So it's okay to pray. Okay, God. But again, you got to be willing to endure whatever is there, whether it be with people or with stuff. Okay? And sometimes God will put people in your path to test your patience. So in the midst of that suffering and persecution, then we can pray. We can ask God to bring it to an end. Okay? So that was the endurance of suffering. Now let's talk about forbearance or the forgetting of another. We'll probably finish this tonight. So patience, this is where I think it really, the rubber really hits the road for a lot of us. Because I think we deal with this more patience in this aspect than we necessarily do in the endurance of suffering. Patience also means forbearance, okay, with others. That means putting up with other things people do or don't do when you wish they would. Okay? Do you think that's funny?
Everything's funny right now. I'm a Jesus. Talk about patience.
Woo! No. So, when you have forbearance with someone, that means you will put up with other things that they do or that they don't do. I wish they would do this. I wish they wouldn't do this and they would do this, right? Have you ever said that? Okay.
Uh-huh.
It means you make the effort to bear with people even when they irritate and annoy you.
Yeah.
Or even worse.
Yeah.
You make the effort to bear with people, okay? See, I told you this is the hard one. This is the one that's a little bit more difficult. Forbearance is when you choose to forgive people rather than hold a grudge against them. It's when you choose to say, you know what? I'm letting that go. I forgive you for that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to hold that grudge, right? Because then what you do is you start bearing their sin. Okay, you start paying the price for their sin. It's that same thing that you drink, get up every morning praying for them to die, which everyone drinking the poison.
That's a great deal.
Okay, wanting them to be the ones to suffer, but you're the one drinking the poison because of that bitterness. So you choose to forgive people rather than hold a grudge. Forbearance is when you choose, everybody say choose. Choice to overlook something hurtful or unkind rather than fighting back with harsh words or even getting even with that. So you choose to overlook it. That's tough. That can be hard. Okay? But it's possible. It's possible. That's what you got to understand. Okay? It's possible only through the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Forbearance is when you learn to be patient with others, mainly because you're well aware of your own shortcomings and weaknesses.
Yes, buddy.
That's another way. Because we can get really impatient and we can get really short with other people because of their weaknesses or because of their shortcomings. But forbearance is when we learn to be patient with them because we understand or we're aware of the fact that we have weaknesses. And we ourselves have shortcomings. Because guess what? Someone else is forbearing you. Somebody else is putting up with you. Because if you have shortcomings and you have weaknesses, you get on somebody's nerves.
Absolutely.
You're testing their patience. Okay? So they're forbearing you while you're learning to forbear them. Okay? Something to keep in mind. Okay? I know some of you think you don't get on anybody's nerves.
Never.
That's a shortcoming. That's a flaw in your character because we all get on somebody's nerves.
Right.
I don't want to know.
Probably
only
great for forgiveness.
That kind of patience is what's needed in the church. It's that kind of patience that's needed among Christians, especially Christian leaders, okay? That kind of patience. So, in all the blogs, and all the comments, and all the social media posts, patience seems to be a neglected virtue. When you really look at it, there is a family that is in ministry, and right now, and it's not anyone local. I mean, this is a family that, you know, maybe some, but a lot of people are familiar with them individually, and their brothers, and they are at war on social media, and they all say they're called to be prophets and pastors, but they are at war. They are sharing screenshots of private texts that they texted 5 years back, and at war, and these things are being published in like Christian magazines, and I'm thinking to myself, I was a weak babe in Christ, and I would be reading that, I would be like, now if I was an unbeliever and I was reading that, it would just increase my unbelief. Because so we need that kind of patience in the body of Christ, especially in Christian leaders. And so, you know, because some people just can't wait to put their word in. They can't wait to get their point across. Some people can't wait to speak their mind, no matter how harmful or how hurtful. Can I be honest?
Sure
I can. Better than being fake, right? But something that is kind of that kind of makes me cringe, especially on social media, is, you know, people, Christians will spew. They'll say their thought, and they'll say, "Yes, I said it." I'm like, so, does that mean it's gospel? Or does that mean, like, it's like, nobody else is going to say it, I'm going to say it. Yes, I said it. There, I said it.
All right.
I read that, and everything that I read prior to that, no matter how deep and how spiritual and how much revelation it just meant. For me, anyway. Because that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I'm like, so? Like, what's that? Because you just can't wait. And you don't care who it hurts.
Right.
You don't care who it harms. But there, you said it.
It's not spiritual.
It's not.
Yeah.
And we need this. And this in the body of Christ. Again, especially among Christian leaders. Because they just been sitting waiting. They had that typed out and just waiting for somebody to. Because there's an underlying motive to that. Somebody they know has done something or said something, and now that warrants them to just speak their mind.
Right?
And sometimes things are warranted, but in general, I'm speaking in general, that's just something they're like. So, you know, we're impatient in our attitudes, we're impatient in our communication, and we're impatient in our expectations. Okay, we become impatient. So, you know, listen, I can tell you, being a pastor or being a church leader involves limitless, supernatural patience.
Yeah.
It does. Supernatural. That means that only the source has to be from the Holy Spirit. You have to be yielded, okay? When you care for God's people, that's the difference in a pastor and a shepherd. When you care for God's people and you take care of them, okay, it involves limitless. I've had people say to me, I don't know how you put up with that. I don't. The Holy Spirit does.
Right.
It's not mine to put up with.
Amen.
And I have to keep it that way.
Yeah.
There's times that I miss it. There's times that I don't cultivate it, and it isn't yielded, okay? I'm not saying that pastor get it right. I'm just telling you that the need to have that patience, because people are all different, right? We're all different. Different personalities, different preferences, different likes and dislikes, different visions, different ambitions, different desires, different thoughts. And we're all different. And so when you bring all of that together, you know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean all those things just automatically blend together. It's not just, you know, roses and cupcakes and sunshine and all of that sweet, fluffy stuff, right? Sit in a board meeting and you'll find out. Sit in a council meeting, you'll find out. It's not all of that. And so all of that just doesn't blend together all by itself. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The patience that some people are easily upset.
People say,
like,
they were born.
Right.
They must have been born ticked off because it's just such a white world. Right? You know people like that?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So people can be easily upset. Little things will upset one person and not bother another person. Okay? So, again, my point is, you know, Jesus had a tough time with 12. Multiply that. For real, think about that. Jesus had a tough time with 12 people. You know? And, you know, only one of them was admittedly a betrayer. You know what I'm saying? So, multiply that. So, you put us all together. And God designed us to be together, right? We have already decided that. Choir sings, it's all wonderful, but then patience hits, bam, then reality hits, it's still got to be, okay, because everyone looking in from the outside that doesn't know the Jesus that we know needs to see it all. It's not fair for them to get a portion of that Jesus and not get all of him, because he gave all of himself. Okay, and he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could show all of him to the world. And when we don't show every aspect of him, we're cheating the world. Okay? And then I think we start frustrating the grace of God and different things of that nature. So we all need more patience to put up with people.
Right?
Because God's brought us together in the church. So all the people that God has brought together, we all need patience to put up with each other.
Right.
You know, just ask, again, ask, you know, ask my family. You know, why do I do that? Sorry, so I just asked my wife. But, she probably doesn't say anything. She just that Luann, that little Luann. I'm not saying her name, but you can read her eyeballs. Okay, but again, we all need patience. But that's the wonderful thing about the unity in the body of Christ and how that we're all different and we all have all these different things, but yet we can all come together for the same purpose, under the same covenant, with the same Jesus.
Amen.
And we can love, and we can be who God wants us to be. So we got to remember the patience that they need to put up with us in return. Because we're quick to recognize that, but you got to remember again, the patience that they put up with us, that's not easy, okay? So it's hard. This is hard, to let the fruit of the Spirit ripen in our lives. This one's a tough one. Okay, to let it ripen, because it's really easy for the enemy to cut it off before it begins to get really rooted and grow, and then you have to realize it, and so you're right back to again. So that, you know, that's again why he wanted to pray. So you don't have to sit and like pray for patience specifically. If you're praying for the fruit of the Spirit to be active in your life, then the test is going to come. And that fruit is going to be the opportunity for that fruit to grow and to be evident in your life is going to be there. So it's hard to let the fruit of the Spirit ripen in our lives. And sometimes we got to work at it. Amen. It's happened to me just before we started with that silly phone live stream. God bless you, live people. Because I grabbed the tripod, and between Sunday and tonight, somehow, the little piece that holds the phone got broken off. So I go to put the phone on, and it can't stay on because the piece broke off. So if you come up here and look, you're going to see my hillbilly. It's taped. There's packing tape holding on there. Then it's set all the way it's supposed to, all the settings to make it horizontal. It's possessed. It wouldn't do it. Four times I'm trying my heart, but I'm just not going to do it. It's not. That's what I'm, you know what? I'm just going to do it. There's 2 years. I'm like, somebody cares. The whole thing is really awesome. I mean, it's that quick. You're like, you know what? I just want to toss the phone, like, throw my head, whatever. Okay? If I'm like, no, somebody needs that.
Right?
So there it is, vertical, one way, taped on. But there will be a new attachment on Sunday morning. But the test, that test of my patience, after, you know, stuff, and it's been a long 2 days for a lot of people, and if today was hot, just, you know, all those things. So, you know, effort and struggle are involved in allowing patience. Especially if you've been misunderstood, you've been misinterpreted, or you've been falsely accused. I'm about to finish. Uh-huh. If you've ever been misunderstood, if you've ever been misinterpreted, or you've ever been falsely accused, all I've had all of those, and all of you have too. It's hurtful when you've been misunderstood, or you've been misinterpreted, when you know that that was not your heart or your motive, but you were interpreted wrong.
Right.
And it happens. It does. It does. You've been falsely accused. Or you find out that people are gossiping about you, spreading rumors. That's really going to test your patience.
Right.
It happens. Okay? It happens. There's no value. Listen, there's no value in claiming to be a patient person if there's nothing to be patient about.
Right.
You cannot say, well, I'm a patient person if you do not have anything to be patient about. Don't come at me with that. Because if you have nothing to be patient about, so the thing is that you have to be tested. There has to be suffering. There has to be the misinterpretation and the miscommunication. There has to be the false accusation. There has to be all of that for you to be able to exhibit patience. Does that make sense? That's why Jesus said, we will suffer. Okay? Again, Paul knew this all too well. Yet he urges us, what? To somehow carry the load, be the paper towel for some people's spills, resist the temptation to fight back and become defensive, to be bitter or resentful, or to react with angry threats. Paul tells us to somehow carry that. He says, be patient with everybody. So Paul said, he said, toward all men. We're going to look at just a few more scriptures and we're going to close. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 15. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. I think that's so funny. That can be hard. Okay, that's not a negative thing that God is saying. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. All men. Verse 15. Sorry. Yeah, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm about done. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice they're two different. Both of those are in regards to patience, but they're two different aspects of patience, okay? The long suffering, the endurance of suffering, and then the forgiving of another, the forbearing of people. And then Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Okay? Jesus not only died that we could be forgiven, but he died that we might be able to forgive others. That's an awesome thing, because we never had the power to forgive other people before Jesus died. So he not only died to forgive us, but he just died that we might forgive others. So the willingness to forgive others is itself a fruit of patience. So the willingness to be able to forgive another person is that fruit of patience, okay? So patience is a virtue, but it is a virtue of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit, and we can walk in that. So the long suffering, the endurance of suffering, and then the forbearance, which is the forgiving of another. That's what Paul is speaking about when it comes to patience and the fruit of the Spirit. So next week, we're going to talk about kindness. You're like, oh, God. Okay. Kindness is not one of the Ten Commandments. Some people think it is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So if you don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't follow Jesus, your kindness, you understand what I'm saying? So there's no law of kindness to follow. It's walking in the fruit of the Spirit because it doesn't come natural. It's just, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about next week. Amen? Amen. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your attendance, for listening, for amen. Just keep in mind that patience, and now that you are accountable for what we've said, get ready tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Before we close, I would like to have you re-stand in prayer for Matthew Gilkerson's wife, Sarah. Bev called and said that she's pretty bad off. So, what reason? Come on, Bev.
And Bev asked me that she's praying for something. She needs answers. She needs answers and some prayers.
Amen. God is faithful to hear our prayers, amen. And he gives us, amen, this opportunity to come together. So let's believe and pray for this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, God, for Sarah Gilkerson. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, she is healed. And God, you sent your word, and it healed them. Father, I pray right now that your word would be released unto Sarah, God, that you would just bring healing and strength, Father God. Lord, I know that they believed and they've trusted and they've prayed and they're trusting God in God a final result of healing and breakthrough. Father, let your glory be revealed in their life and their circumstances. Strengthen their faith and their heart. God, we pray that you would touch Bev and Steve, God, that you would strengthen them. Guide Bev, God, as she needs some direction from you, Father. You said that when the Holy Ghost came, that he would lead us and guide us in all ways of truth. Father, she knows your presence. She knows your spirit. Speak to her. God, speak to her in a way that it will be settled in her spirit. We agree and believe for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would touch them, God. You know their heart's desire, God, to deliver them and their face, God. We just pray for a supernatural release over them, God, Lord, that you would just continue to protect them, God. Release your presence over their life, God. Raise them, God. Continue to grow them, Father God, into the destiny that you have set before them. Father God, your report, your favor, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget, Saturday morning, 8:30, men, is the men's breakfast at Third Dutchman. We'll meet there there at 8:30. Amen. For that fellowship. Then Sunday morning, we'll be back here ready to worship the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray for Israel. Don't forget. I want you to remember to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
Remember Caden, we gave him that Caden yesterday in the Operation Hope, and God just led him this way and got him into Christian rehab.
Thank God.
He just got out of jail yesterday and came here out of jail and got him into rehab, Christian rehab today, and got to pray with him and talk with him. So let's remember him again. His name's Caden. Amen. God's good.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Amen.
And if anything, for one person. Right? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You're going to blast the shofar. Amen. Once you lift your hands, honor God. Shout of praise for all that he's done tonight. God bless you. We appreciate you. We love you. Come back.
Amen. Hallelujah.